Good morning, church. What a great joy it is to look out and welcome each and every one of you and see your smiling faces as once again we come together to celebrate and to worship all that God has blessed us with. This last week, a whole week ago, while at annual conference, our theme for the week was disciples making disciples. And it was this past week then I was creeping on Facebook. And you'll remember Lorenza Smith, the pastor from San Antonio, Texas, that is appointed to the homeless. And she had posted these words: "If only ministry with our neighbors would parallel the energy, resources, devotion, and passion of the sports industry and its fans." Disciples making disciples. May God's presence rest upon us as we seek faithfully to worship during this time together. Have a work crew that is leaving at 1, 2 o'clock. Be here at 1:30. And today, as we send them off, we like to do a commissioning for the work team. So I'm going to ask, I guess we kind of started this a couple weeks ago, if the work team would stand and kind of move to the center, if you can. If you can't, get as close as you can. And we're going to stretch ourselves out. And I would invite members of the congregation to somehow reach out and touch one of these members. And if you can't get to them, then send a hand through somebody that's touching you, touching them, you know, kind of that way. Now, hey, Phil, we got a whole choir up here, so we're going to try to see how far you can stretch out. Keep coming this way. So the work crew might have to stretch out and reach hands, and with the balcony, you're going to do it by mental telepathy, whatever that's called. All right, and I would, congregation, reach out and touch them. Come on, they won't bite you.
I'm touching you.
I see you're touching me.
Before we do that, can I say something?
Yes.
Okay. You know, we just listen. Hey, Ed.
We need the handheld, Ed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ooh, there we go.
We got the handheld, Ed.
Hello. You know, Diane just played God of Wonders, and there's no doubt that this church is full of wonder. Look at these baskets that have been prepared for the family. It's just overwhelming, the support that this congregation has given, because this isn't about a few people going down and making it happen. It's about a church. Good morning, church.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, church. That's what it's all about. It's all about you. And we just want to thank you for the support you've given us, for the donations of money, the donations of food, the tools that we used yesterday. We were able to dig 14 holes and place 14 posts in 4 hours. Amazing. I mean, these guys wanted to dig dirt before we were even in the parking. We had the doors open from the trucks.
Kids and all.
Yeah, I mean, testosterone was just all over the place. And but Diane was there to keep us, you know, in wrap. So we thank Diane for helping us with the food. It went so well, we didn't even have to stay for the second meal. We were able to give that to the family. And one of the comments that was made by Eddie when Diane and Tom presented him with the food was, "What are you people trying to fatten me up?" And I said, it ain't started yet, Jack. Yeah, they're going to be getting a lot of food. Whatever we don't eat goes to the family. So we thank you for all of that. And I just want to let you know that in the bulletin has the names of the people who were involved in this. But I was pleasantly surprised when Bill gave me a call and said that his son Eric wanted to go. So we had some young blood there. I mean, it was nice having that, having Eric there. And I think that he certainly made a difference. And I was very pleased with that. We had a total of 12 people that went down yesterday, and we were back home by 4:00. It was just amazing. It was hot, and it will probably continue to be hot, but we're going to push through that. And you continue to keep us in your prayers, and we covet that. And God bless you.
Okay, it's your turn. Oh, it's my turn.
Oh, the board. I did this the first service. I think, as Patty said, you have this down. You know what we do here. Because I saw people signing it already this morning before the church started. But there is a 2x8x8 that will be placed as part of the beam for the roof. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done it already, please sign it. If you want to put a little note, I flipped it over, so it will be of both sides. But it will be a part of supporting the roof that we will be supporting this family with. So thank you.
So 2x8x8, is that like this big?
2 inches by 8 inches by 8 feet.
Uh-huh.
Those of you who are not familiar
with... I'm not cutting that piece of wood.
...with not familiar with the vernacular.
Now you know why I'm not in construction.
Okay, I'm going out here again.
Oh, he's going back out there. I would invite you as the congregation to follow along here. All who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministries of love and service by the example of Christ. As these members of our church begin their work among the people of Philippi, West Virginia, we pray the blessings of God, our pastor, and this church upon their endeavor. Through our prayers, we will be united with you in your work. Let us affirm our belief in the responsibilities of Christian service. We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom we acknowledge God's gifts. We dedicate ourselves to peace throughout the world and to the rule of justice and law among all the nations. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for this work team. We are thankful for the resources that have been provided through the generous gifts of this congregation because of your blessings. Up here in front of us, O God, are baskets of food and toys, Bibles that contain your holy words, and prayer shawls that have been knitted to offer comfort and warmth to people. There are many hands here and minds that have been preparing and looking forward to this day as you send us forth into the world. Oh God, we pray for traveling mercies. We pray for safety. We pray for grace, for forgiveness, for love. We pray for smiles upon our faces and songs within our hearts as we go forth into the world to share your love, to share the presence of Christ with those who need to experience your love. We pray that your hope might go with us, that we might indeed be disciples who are making disciples. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Verse number 2, 389, freely.
Let us now join in the call to worship. We often feel as if we are wandering through our lives, searching for something we cannot name. We come today to listen for hope, to pray for strength, and to experience God's love. As the deer longs for flowing water in the wilderness, we long to drink deeply of God's promise for us. Knowing God is here, we join together on our journey. Imprisoned by rules of our own making, we come to remember and claim our faith. Assured by the vision of Christ, whose sacrifice leads us to heaven, we come in fellowship with one another. With shouts of praise and songs of thanksgiving, we come to celebrate the God of hope, the Spirit of peace, and the Christ of redeeming love. Let us now stand and sing God of Grace and God of Glory. You may be seated. If you would please turn to page 777 in your hymnal and join me in the responsive reading of Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, God's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Like a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Let us pray. God of mystery, open our eyes to look for you in unfamiliar places. Open our ears to hear you speak in the sound of sheer silence. Open our hearts to feel the depth of your love. When we wander in the wilderness of fear and death, revive us with your care, that we may find strength for our journey back to the land of hope and life. Amen. At this point, we have reached the moments of informality. Are there any announcements? Diane?
On July 19th, we were scheduled to have a group called the Celebrant Singers here at our church, and I had to call them in California this week and cancel. And the reason being, we discovered that Irwin has scheduled their jazz night that same night, and there will be no parking in town and no way for people to get into the church. So we had to cancel. Now, that creates an opportunity for us to be of some service to this group as they continue their ministries. One, I'm still trying to find another church that might like to host them. I've contacted a couple of churches outside of downtown Irwin to see if they could host, and I haven't had any luck. So if you have any contacts at another church, or if you know of another church that might be a possibility, let me know, and I'm going to try to give them a call and twist their arms. It's a wonderful group, and I'm really sorry that we're having to miss them. But I did contact Greensburg First Methodist and also Community Methodist, since I knew they had a lot of parking, and they were not unable to do it. So if you know of another church, please let me know today, if you can, and then I'll contact the church. Secondly, the group is in need of some housing this week. They are traveling from Michigan, Minnesota, someplace way out there, 10 or 12 hours on Wednesday, and getting into the Pittsburgh area probably around 7 or 7:30 at night. At the same time, there are three or four people who are flying in from all over the United States to Pittsburgh Airport, and at different flight times. I know there's young girl around 20 and two adults of, I think there was a gentleman in his 50s and the other person I think was about the same age. Anyway, they're flying in at the airport. They need to be picked up at the airport and housed overnight, and then we have to meet them up with the bus on Thursday. If you are able to help either in the transportation to or from the airport or with some housing on this coming Wednesday night, please let me know. I'd like to be able to help them since we couldn't host them here as a concert. So if you're able to do that, please see me today. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I do another quick one, or not another, but a quick one as well. Being gone the last couple weeks, it seems like I've been doing communicating with texting and emailing. So I received kind of a foreword from Wendy. You remember the young little girl Cheyenne that we had on her prayer list and helped her out? Well, Wendy got a message from Missy, Cheyenne's mom, that says that they would like everyone in our church to know that they are having a welcome home party for Cheyenne on Saturday, June 29th, from 1 until 6 at the Paintertown Fire Hall. And if anyone here would like to attend, we are certainly invited. But she would like to know if anyone from our congregation is attending so that they can plan accordingly for food. Now, I don't have Missy's phone number, but I do have Wendy's phone number. So you can either just call her at the house and let her know that, yes, my family and I are coming, or as an individual, and then that'll help with the family planning. So that is at the Paintertown Fire Hall next Saturday, June 29th, between 1 and 6.
Are there any other announcements? I have a couple just reminders. Too bad I should have made this one last week when I had a whip on my hip. But I would like to ask everyone to take this summer and contemplate, if you're not already helping out with one of the groups that make Sunday worship what it is for you, consider joining next season the choir. You can see Diane. We would love to have you. Consider helping out with the sound system. See Josh, he would love to have you. If you're interested in being an usher or helping in some other way, we can use the help. Things, as we start to age and grow, things start to dwindle, and we could be in danger of losing something. So the more help, it most definitely be appreciated. At this time, the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
How's everyone today?
Good.
What's new or exciting?
Nothing.
Oh, for crying out loud. You're going to Jamonville. When? Today.
Sunday.
That's Sunday. Next week. Which camp? Family Adventure.
Bailey
Adventure. Bailey Adventure. Who's Bailey? Oh, cool. You know, where's your mom and dad? You got to be careful while you're there. Because when I was there, I met a very, very special young lady. And she's now my wife. So you might meet a very, very special young boy. You don't think? Guess what? Andrew worked at Jamonville one summer, and guess what? He met a very, very special young lady 2 years ago, and they're still together. You just might. See, go to camp. Did you find a boyfriend at camp?
No.
No. All right. Camp. What were you going to say is new, Axel? Anything? No, you forgot now that I took so long.
But I did go to my uncle's.
You went to your uncle's? Cool. Did you do anything fun? You did what?
I saw deer.
You saw a deer? You rode a quad? Cool.
In the woods.
In the woods.
I'm going to my Aunt Grammy Ann's this year.
You're going to Aunt Grammy Ann's this year. Wonderful.
No.
No?
I'm going to my different aunt and uncle. My Aunt Beth and my Uncle Nate.
Wow. That'll be a good trip. I bet. Well, you know, like I mentioned a little earlier, I was at annual conference where there was all like 750 ministers. Oh, was there a lot of hot air at that place? And about another 750 or 800 lay people. There was really a lot of hot air at that place. Talking. Chit-chatting and talking. And the bishop told us that we are to be disciples making disciples. So what's a disciple? Somebody who follows Jesus. Now, how many first disciples were there? Are you sure? You can be. 12, right? There were 12 disciples. They were Jesus' closest followers and closest friends. And what did Jesus tell them to do?
Follow him.
Follow him. What else did he tell them to do?
Go teach his words.
Yes. And even on the day of Jesus' resurrection, who was the first person he met? Do you remember that story? Who was the first person Jesus met on Easter morning? Mary. Her name was Mary, and Jesus sent Mary to go tell the disciples. And you know what? Jesus tells us the same thing. That we are to go to those that we play with, those that we live with, those that we go to school with, those that you go to camp with. We are to tell them about Jesus. Not only you, but all of us in church today are to be disciples that help Jesus make disciples. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for these boys and girls. And we are thankful that you call us by name as disciples and send us out into the world to be disciples as well. Continue to bless all of these children, their moms, their dads, grandmas and grandpas, and all of those that care for them. For we pray that they might live and that they might grow in your words. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you help? Good deal. You'll help pass cups out. Did you get them all? Let me get the bulletins here. Here you go. You want your bulletin? Coming out of that time in our midst to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations among us. If you look in the back of our worship folder, you'll see we have Bill listed as being a patient in Forbes. I'm not sure if that's accurate, having been out of town for the last couple weeks. I do know that you'll see recently discharged of Rosemary Blinn, and they will continue to covet our prayers, I'm sure. I've received these additional ones. Please pray for my granddaughter Katrina having surgery on Tuesday. Also, prayers for Renee, please include on continuous prayer list. Praise Julie is back at work. And then also was given a list, Don family and the Bob family. And also, while at annual conference last week, you know, we've had Bob and Ruth on our prayer list for Bob's bout with cancer, and then Ruth's bout with cancer, and then the tragic death of their son, Rob. Bob announced at annual conference that his cancer is back. And that he will be undergoing some surgery tomorrow morning to have a mass either removed or checked that's up in his lungs. So we'll want to continue to remember that family as well. Charlotte sung Amazing Grace at the first service for us and then the choir. And when they were singing that, I wanted to look to get the names right. And I'll find John Newton, who wrote the song, you'll remember, was a slave trader in England. And when God grabbed a hold of John Newton's heart as a captain of a slave ship, he penned the words to this song of Amazing Grace. Someone shared the other day at a meeting of other clergy that at a recent funeral service, the pastor had made reference to the person whose lifestyle was on the edge of addiction with drug and alcohol, made reference to this person as a child of God. And one of our colleagues went up to that pastor, another colleague, and said, how dare you call the deceased a child of God? I have to pray for that pastor and probably pray for my anger to be contained and God to release that. When we hear songs of amazing grace, I believe that God's grace is beyond, thank God, our understanding and our comprehension. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's good news. And I am thankful for God's grace each and every day in my life. And pray for those individuals that go through life with addictions. And pray for those individuals who go through life seeking to be judges. Because I pray that I'm not there and don't ever want to be in that position. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits for prayer. Our gracious and loving God, in the heat of this day, all the animals of creation will be seeking the cool stillness of a refreshing drink. We pray, O God, that we might search for your presence and your spirit and your calmness as well, that we might experience the refreshing presence of your spirit. We come into your home, O God, this day to celebrate the multitude of gifts and blessings that we have received from your almighty hands. We come, O God, perhaps searching and looking for something to fill that void and that absence in our lives. We come looking for your grace and your forgiveness. We come looking for that holy presence. We come looking for words to sustain us and to enable us to live our lives faithfully as disciples in the world, that we might go and make disciples each and every day. We come, O God, perhaps just to experience a still small voice, a quietness, a calmness, a coolness on this holy day. In spite of our needs and our desires, O God, you are the one who was, who is, and who will forever be the one that seeks to engage us where we are. O God, we are indebted to you for your holy presence, knowing that each need, each strength, each care can be met. Knowing, O God, that as we have lifted up joys and concerns to you this day, as we've held some back because they cannot be made public, but you hear them and know those that are voiced within our hearts. We know, O God, that your healing power and presence is there, that you are just waiting eagerly to bless each and every one of us, your children. We pray, O God, that in these blessings, with a sense of joy and celebration in our hearts, that we might go forth into the world, that we might be sent as your disciples were sent to live, to share, to proclaim this good news of Christ. To continue, O God, to bless us and strengthen us, that we might continue to grow and to become that you have created us to be. For we know that your Spirit goes before us, preparing the way and preparing even our voices and our ears, our eyes to see and to hear and to speak. Lord God, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we ask and that we pray. As we unite our voices in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
God of the universe and God of our hearts, speak to us this morning in our giving with your still, small voice. Remind us who we are. Remind us whose we are. Remind us why we have chosen to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. As we share in this offering today, remind us that when we feel as if we are the last ones left who have not turned from you, that we are not alone. What we do and what we give is multiplied with the compassion of others. Keep us faithful in that knowledge. We pray this in the name that is above all others, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
as you're sitting or as you're being seated, look on the bottom of 504, and you will see that the tune and the words were written in 1913. And I understand that that was 100 years ago this month. And so the old rugged cross is 100 years old this month and this year. So we celebrate that as well. The passage of Scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, beginning in the 8th chapter with verse 26. This is one of those passages today that I'm going to read and stop for a little bit and make some comments and then pick it up and continue. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes. He did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Jesus is master over the forces of nature, and now in this morning's passage, Jesus now shows that he is also master over the demonic spirits. Jesus steps out of the boat, and it appears that instantly he is met by this individual, and all we are told at this point is that the man had demons. He doesn't wear any clothes, that he lived among the tombs rather than in a home. When the man sees Jesus, he falls at his feet and he begins shouting. This man has a case of violent insanity. He was too dangerous to live in the community, and so he lived in the tombs, which were believed to be the homes of other demons. We also know that the man has incredible strength, for he was able to snap chains as he was subdued and bound with these chains. And now the people have recognized that they could not subdue him. His fellow men were terrified in him that they would never try to do anything. But now he bows at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus very calmly and peacefully is unafraid. Jesus commanded the spirit to come out of the man. Jesus' command is also seen as an act of compassion for this individual because of all that he has suffered at the power of these demons. Jesus demonstrated his power further by requiring the demon to divulge and reveal its name. We remember back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, when Moses first has his experience with God, knowing that knowing a name gives one control. Moses says, "What is your name?" And God says, "I am who I am. I will be whomever I will be." When Jesus asks him his name, he replies, "Legion." You see, a Roman legion was a regiment of 6,000 soldiers. And so this man felt as if within his spirit that he had a whole legion of spirits that were troubling him. And the demon begs Jesus not to send him back into the abyss. In the world of the New Testament, the abyss was the place where disobedient spirits would be imprisoned. Now, there on the hillside is a large herd of swine, of pigs, feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. And so Jesus gave them permission. The demons came out of the man and entered the herd of pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake, and that whole herd was drowned. Now a herd of pigs are introduced. It seems as though the demons have negotiated their fate with Jesus, allowing them to enter into this herd of swine. Now, no good Jewish Christian would ever have questioned the ethics of Jesus allowing the destruction of the livelihood of the Gentile herdsmen. Instead, the fate of the pigs would have been a celebration and showed that justice had prevailed all around, that the man had been delivered from the torment of the demons, and that this unclean herd of pigs had been destroyed as well. The demons got what they wanted. They did not go into the abyss, and in the end, they were destroyed along with the whole herd of pigs. Jesus had outwitted the demons. The demons that wanted to avoid were now cast aside as well. Now, when the swine herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran off to the city and told in the city and in the country everything that had happened. When people came to see what had happened, they came to Jesus. And they found the man whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. The exorcism is confirmed by the herdsmen and the people from around who have come and see this individual as a person acting in his right mind as a normal person. He is clothed. He is sitting at the feet of Jesus. He has been restored. He has been healed. And how do the people respond? They recognize the mystery and the power of that which has taken place, but they cannot make a place for it in their own lives to accommodate their own lives. And so their response, therefore, is to ask Jesus to leave. They hated their routines being disturbed. Life went on peacefully for them until Jesus arrived. More people hate Jesus because he disturbs their life than probably for any other reason. If Jesus says to a person, "You must give up this habit, you must change your life." If Jesus says to an employer, "You cannot be a Christian and make people work under these conditions." If Jesus says to a landlord, "You cannot make money at the expense of these people, forcing them to live in this type of dwelling conditions." If Jesus says, "You cannot, as one of my disciples, treat people like that." How often do people in today's world and society say, "Go away and let me live in peace"?
because we hate having the routines of our daily life and living upset. How do we respond? As I mentioned earlier, the theme of this past annual conference was disciples making disciples. What about the man who was cured? Here's the ending of the scripture. Jesus was preparing to get back into the boat and return, and the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. A disciple making disciples. I think it's only obvious and natural that the man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus had other things in store for him and wants him to go home. Christian witness begins at home, at our most common places. It would be much easier to live and speak for Christ among people that we don't know, that we're never going to see again. But it is our duty. Where Christ has sent us, there to witness for Jesus Christ. And if it should happen that we are the only Christian in the shop, the only Christian in the office, in the school, in the factory, wherever it is that we are found, in the circle in which we live and work, that is not a matter for us to whine about. It's a challenge to which God says, go and tell the people you meet every single day what I've done for you. And may we remember we are a child of God, and that God indeed loves us. And that thanks be to God that we are never alone. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the scriptures and the good news this day. That we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are sent into the world. To continue, O God, to bless us that we might be a blessing, sharing what you offer to us each and every day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, number 127, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. as we go out into the world this week, may it be our hope and our prayer that who we were in this hour of worship, that we might also be as we go out into the world. And may we go forth in the name of Almighty God, the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.